We serve a mighty God. And I want you to go ahead and write this down. The title of the message is going to be, Lord, change me, change me. And then put in parentheses, embedded. The embedded, well, you young people know what embedded is, you know, with the computers and everything. The EM, put that in parentheses. So I have no doubt that Ishmael is in heaven right now, because when Pastor Lewis was here preaching, the gentleman from Nigeria that comes with his wife all the time, in the middle of his sermon, and you know, he was preaching on healing, hallelujah, I thought, why didn't I think to tell Mrs. McComb to come? Why didn't I think to try to record this? So in the middle of the sermon, I took my phone out and I said, I know Ishmael has not been able to raise his hands for 10 years. So I knew he wasn't picking up the phone, but I thought to myself, if I record some of this message, I can go back to the hospital and I can let him hear this. But praise the Lord, after that service, got in the car and I got a call from Mrs. McComb, and she said, Miss Mitchell, Ishmael is gone. And my heart was heavy. It was very heavy. But I got it together and I said, I'm coming up. And I drove up to see her. And I said, Mrs. McComb, what time did he pass? And she said, oh, I know, because I was calling my friends and they said they were on their way. And then I told them, don't come, because he passed 15 minutes ago. I took that phone out and I looked at it and I said, what time was that? She said, Miss Mitchell, that was about 1:15. You know what time I started recording that, Pastor? 12:47. Hallelujah. I know where Ishmael is. I know he's with the Lord. I felt that was the Lord's way of letting me know. He heard and he's with me. So I praise the Lord for that opportunity. And today, we are going to be reading in John. And we know it's the end of the year. And at the end of the year, we know what happens. We reflect. Or sometimes, we don't want to reflect, but most of us do reflect. And not only do we reflect, we decide we're going to make changes. Hallelujah. So the whole message isn't about making changes. It isn't. It's about thinking back to the things that happened and then finding a way to get prepared before you decide what you need to change. Because I'm going to tell you, you know what they say, by January 10th or February 1st, whatever you said you were going to change already slipped back. So before you even decide to make those changes, we're going to find out how to make them stick, okay? And I'm just going to say, I'm really not one of those resolution people. I'd start doing that in September, because come the end of the year, I'm so busy with other things, I don't want to make that the time that I'm going to decide to make the change. I said, okay, if I'm going to make the change, and Shirley says this all the time, she said, you know, if you're going to make a change, just go ahead and make the change. You don't have to wait until December 31st, but you know, in the society we live in, that's what we do. We say, I'm going to change this, this, and this. So, you know, when you look back over the year, I'm sure many of you had wonderful things that happened. Some of you had babies. Some of you had your first, maybe your second, your third, maybe your fourth. I don't know. And some of you are grandparents. And so you're saying, well, Sister Mel, it wasn't the first, second, third, or fourth grandchild. It was the first, second, third, fourth great-grandchild. And praise the Lord, if that was you, hallelujah for that. Or maybe you had, maybe you finally got that job that you've been waiting for. You know, the one you've been praying about, the one that gives you those benefits. And we all want that. I remember when I had a job that didn't have any benefits. And I was like, man, I got to get something to build towards a future. You know, something that's going to allow me to be able to see the doctor if I need to see him, or have a 401k or whatever it is. And, you know, you got that job. And so now, you know, you're making the money, more tithe, amen, hallelujah. Or maybe you're the parent of someone that finally got that job, the one you've been praying for, and you're not getting any more of those calls. You know those calls that say, Mama, I'm a little short. If you can just till payday, that kind of thing. Maybe that's what happened for you. Or maybe you reached that ultimate pinnacle and you received that email. I get these emails towards the end of the year all the time. Not ready for them yet, but I will be one day. You know, the one that invites you to like a retirement seminar, show you how to use that money that you've been investing or whatever. And basically what they're doing is they want to tell you how to live off of half the salary. And when you find out what half that salary is, you know, a lot of times you're thinking, man, I'm glad I invested something because I can't live off of this. So as you're reflecting back, maybe that was you. Or maybe none of those things were you, but it doesn't matter because whether that was you or not, the thing is, 2020 is a new beginning. It's a new time. And I don't just mean it's a new year or a new decade. I mean it's an opportunity to get deeper, to grow your roots. Hallelujah. And we know what roots are. We know if you're a gardener, and I'm a big gardener, roots are the beginning of that plant. Whether it's a vegetable plant, whether it's a flowering plant, that's the beginning. And so the roots are where you want to start with your resolution. So in John chapter 1, and give me a moment to get there, and then let me know when you're there. Not 1 John, but the Gospel of John chapter 1. We're going to start right where the beginning is, okay? And those of you that like to have more than one tab open, if you're not using a physical Bible like this, you can go ahead and pull up Genesis chapter 1 also. And just say amen when you're there. All right. So in John chapter 1, and by the way, I'm using the, man, I dropped several things today, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And I just hold on to that because my dad just passed, and hallelujah, that was his Bible. And I started reading it just to feel close to him, and I kind of like this version too. So that's what I'm reading from. I know most of you have the New King James. And in John chapter 1, it says, starting in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. Verse 2 says, He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him. And part of Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. Amen. So we're going to just kind of take that apart a little bit. I'm going to refer to my notes here. When it says, in the beginning was the Word, you can interpret that as saying, in the beginning was Christ, and the Word was, or Christ was with God. The Word is referring to Christ there. He was with God from the very, very beginning. And we know that in creation that Christ was with God. He is the beginning of everything. And then it goes on to say, He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him. So you can think about that and say, if you flip forward to Genesis chapter 1, and keep this in mind, all things were created through Him. Flip forward to Genesis chapter 1. Give me a moment to get there. I can see a little bit without the glasses, but not much, so relying a lot on what I already studied. I don't know. I told them at the nursing home something about after 50. I don't know. I didn't think it would happen, but it definitely did. So, okay. So Genesis chapter 1 says in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface over the watery depth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Let's go back to John chapter 1, verse 1, and read a little bit there again. And it says, He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. God created that light. so that darkness would disappear. And that light, when it says that Christ is the Word, God spoke, He gave us Christ, the light, to guide our lives. And wherever you're starting, your resolution started with Christ, the light who is there to guide your life. If you start everything right there, if you grow your roots right there in God's Word, praising Him, committed to do what He's called you to do. Some of us, if you're like me, I knew what God wanted me to do for years, but it took a push. And it took encouragement, and it took someone like Pastor Paul, who saw beyond the fact that maybe I wasn't going to be comfortable with this, and would say whenever I said, I don't think I'm really meant to stand and preach, he said, but maybe you are. Have you had a conversation with Pastor? If you tell him you don't think, but maybe you are, but maybe you're supposed to. And I would be like, oh my goodness, everybody knows me. That's not who I am. God, when you start with Christ, He puts all those things there, so that your roots will grow deeply, so that you can, I looked up the word roots, and one of the similar words for that is embedded. Now, we use devices all the time that are embedded. The embedded devices are the ones that really can function on their own. You don't need them to do. It's those flip phones, you know, the ones you laugh about. You know, they serve one purpose. You guys can be laughing, but I'm going to tell you something. I am a person that believes that whatever I have, if it works, it works. I don't need anything else. So around March, the flip phone dropped on the carpet. And where's Zena? She's probably really laughing because she was one of those people that kept saying, Sister Mel, Sister Mel. It dropped on the carpet and broke apart. And I said, oh my goodness. And I remember Pastor telling me, Sister Mel, you got to get connected. He would tell me sometimes, you know, I had to update, but I wasn't trying to do that. If the phone worked and it served the purpose for me, which was make a phone call. And you might know, I really only do phone calls, and now I'm getting so I answer texts. If you email me, I don't care if I have a smartphone or not. I'm not opening that email. I don't have it set up to bling every time that I get an email. And that's because, you know, I want the embedded thing. One thing. Do one thing. That's all I need you to do. I don't need all the multitasking. But I will admit, I did have to use the GPS a few times on the smartphone. Now, if you have a GPS system, just a GPS system, then that is an embedded device. But if you're using your smartphone or your Android, that's not really embedded. So when we think about roots or embedded, we're thinking about serving one purpose. What is our purpose? To praise the Lord, to glorify the Lord, and to tell others about Him. Christ came as the Word, brought light. We should be growing roots. And if you want to stay embedded, that's fine. But let Christ be what's embedding you. Let it be what is grounding you. Let it be what's rooting you. Not everybody's going to be that person that has, well, I can't believe I'm saying this, a Chromebook, three tablets, a Nook, and a smartphone. Not everybody's going to be that person. That's who I am now. And I don't know how I got there, but that's who I am now. If you say, well, I want to stay in my Word, in the Bible, that's fine. Get your Bible. Get the one with the tabs. It's fine. But you have to start somewhere. The roots have to start somewhere. You can't just make these grand preparations and think it's going to happen. It's not. You have to submit it to Christ. Be embedded in Him. Let your roots grow deeply in Him. If your roots aren't growing deeply in Him, really what you're doing is you're going to spring up and you're going to be like, I think they're called pear trees in new neighborhoods. They plant those and they flourish real quickly. They have no roots. The minute there's a storm, they are toppling over. They make the neighborhood look really good and attractive when it's brand new, but they can't weather the storm. And I'm going to tell you, I can't stand here and say, even though I know God's Word and even though I serve Him daily, that in the past months, I was like, oh my gosh, My older sister, who loves the Lord, Michelle, told me one day we were crying about my dad passing, and my dad was 83 years old, and it took Ishmael passing at 35 for me to kind of shake and say, wait a minute now, he's gone to glory. He was 83 years old. You had him every day of your life. I praise the Lord. My parents were, you know, from that old school, 60 years and never left each other and never thought about leaving each other. That's just how it was, you know. And not all of us have that story, but that just happens to be my story. But my sister and I were falling apart, crying. Some of you might have got phone calls from me. I'm driving after work every day, lost, not finding my way home because I sat there and cried. And then trying to figure out where I am, which I was in Waldorf. I can't believe I didn't even recognize where I was. But what happened to get me back where I needed to be was I was embedded. And at some point, and I'm not trying to tell anybody how to mourn. I'm not trying to tell you how to feel when you lose someone. I'm telling you what happened with me. At some point, I said, look, life is going on. There have been many blessings this year, and you still have to minister. You cannot stay in mourning forever. Now, it took about 2 months, but when Ishmael got sick, that was the end of it. I thought about this 10 and this 12-year-old who had a dad who never physically was able to even hold the youngest one. And I said, okay. I said, get back to what you know to be true, which is God is a God of peace, mercy, love, redemption, and glory. And if you don't get back and find a way to remember where your roots are and know where you're going to, you're going to stay sad and sorry. So I decided I couldn't stay sad and sorry. Couldn't stay sad and sorry until I found out that his brother decided they were going to take his body back to Senegal. Just Devin and Jewel are here, and when my mom dies, she wants to go back to Senegal. That the boys call their grandmother Mamie. So we're going to take him back to Senegal, and, you know, we're going to have this big celebration there. And I thought, okay. I said, well, that'll be good for me in a way because I won't be trying to figure out how to do things for them. They moved right before their dad died. They left the school system that I worked for, Prince George's County, and moved to Montgomery County. And right then and there, I should have realized that God had a different plan for the boys. But I was just like, oh my goodness, they're up there. They're in a brand new school, 1 week in the school, and their dad passes. And their uncle said, that's what we're going to do. And I said, okay. I was thinking, okay. Feeling bad, I'm ready to minister, enjoying the sermons, you know, feeling good. The Christmas program was so uplifting and just feeling great. Then Monday morning, I get a call from Grandma. I said, Miss McComb, how could you be calling me? I said, you're supposed to be on the plane to Senegal. Did you and the boys go or did just the boys go? She said, Miss Mitchell, I had a stroke. I'm going to tell you. I said, okay. And I started checking off all these things. I said, okay, Dad died. Ishmael died. Praise God. They're both in heaven. I said, now she's had a stroke. She said, I'm in the hospital, and they're talking about putting me in a nursing home. Started thinking about the roots. And I said, okay, Lord, I know you got it. I was on my way to Hampton to visit Mom. I said, I know you've got it, Lord. I know that you're the light that shines within me. And I know I've encouraged her, and I know I'm going to have to depend on you because I'm an hour and a half away from my home, and their home is another 45 minutes from there. I cannot turn back. I said, Mrs. McComb, I said, I'm going to be praying. She said, yes, the neighbors have the boys. And I thought, okay. And I said, oh, my goodness. So I enjoyed my holiday with my mom, and I came back. And I contacted her, and she said, they're going to send me to a nursing home. And I said, I'm going to do that, Lord. I'm going to do that. How am I going to be okay with these boys who I've tagged around everywhere with me for the last 4 years, being in the house of strangers, Then I got his word again. And I remembered that he is the light. And all we're doing is reflecting that light. And Ishmael did go to heaven. So I had to make a decision to agree that, Lord, change my thinking. Change me, Lord, so that I don't think that I'm the answer for everything, because I'm surely not. I'm surely not. And as you prepare your resolutions, remember to leave room for that Holy Spirit, those roots, that watering, that word of encouragement, or that word or correction to help you to grow towards this new year, 2020, clear vision, right? That's what 2020 is. I knew somebody that had 20 higher than 2020. I don't know how they had that kind of vision, but clear vision. We have to be prepared. We have to know that it's good to reflect on the past. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good to make plans. You should. The Word of God says that. God doesn't want us to just squander anything. Not our time, not our money, not our talents. If you have a talent and you're nervous about using it, I don't want to step on anybody's toes here, and you're nervous about using it, get in your word, find out what God says, let your roots grow deep as you move forward to use what God has told you to do. That's all there is to it. It's very easy. If you allow those roots to grow, if you are embedded in Christ, that's all you need to do. That's how you can find success for 2020. As you're preparing, make sure that you leave space for correction, for God's wisdom, and for God's maneuvering you to where you should be. And that's really all I wanted to share this morning, but I do want us to come together as a corporate body and just pray for one another. If you have a special, specific prayer, that's fine. The board members and deacons will come up, and we'll be prepared. You can do that at